Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
If you had your druthers, where would you like to see Bryce Harper play in 2019? And if you had your choice, where would you most decidedly not like to see Bryce Harper play in 2019? Lots of great responses to our Twizzler Tuesday question on our Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, as well as on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I'm going to get to some of your responses here pronto, but if you're wondering about the New York Yankees, with these winter meetings going on in Las Vegas, General Manager Brian Cashman almost appeared exasperated that the question is even coming up again. According to Cashman, that outfield that the Yankees have right now, it's full. They've got enough outfielders. They've got more outfielders than they need. And so instead of pursuing Bryce Harper, well then, they're going after other free agents who can plug holes where they actually have need. Brian Cashman admits that the talks around Manny Machado, well, those are a lot more active. Because of Didi Gregorius' injury, he says they are very much in the conversation for Manny, who is a free agent infielder. So I'll read you this quote from Cashman. "We were definitely focused in the marketplace on those areas of need," meaning shortstop, "and he obviously is available and solves that area of need. So not going to deny we've had a conversation or two." And then Cashman goes on to admit that he and Machado's agent even spoke before the winter meetings. Now, as for Machado himself, he's going to visit teams very soon that are interested in having him sign as a free agent. So you likely aren't going to spend the money on both Machado and on Bryce Harper. Those are the two prizes, right? And again, they've got a logjam at outfield. But what if Harper were to change position? It's an interesting question, one that came up with the Yankees general manager, Brian Cashman.
I mean, we covered this earlier in the wintertime. People asked if about the first base stuff, and I'm sure it's potentially a possibility, but it's not something that, you know, we would play on at that level and that type of money to play somebody like that at first base.
So yeah, Cashman, you can hear the weariness in his voice, and the questions keep coming, and he just keeps saying, "I feel like we've already gone over this. I feel like we've already covered this. Do you need a refresher course? We're full of outfielders. We're not going to spend that kind of money to put him at first base. So is there any other way that you could bring up Bryce Harper in the conversation with the Yankees?" Interesting. So Twizzler Tuesday, where would you like to see Bryce Harper play next year? Where would you not like to see him play next year? A-Law Radio, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, or 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, and I have to write a CBS Sports Minute. So I'm going to be working on that, not while I'm talking to you, but during our break, we're going to do some QB news coming up in 15 minutes here on the show, because Tom Brady spoke to Jim Gray on the Westwood One pregame show before Monday Night Football, and Jim pressed him to the point where Tom actually said he was irritated with this line of questioning, though he did answer the questions. But Jim pressed him, and Brady got irritated and then called him scratchy. "I'm not sure where you're going with this, scratchy." That was actually a line they left in the interview. And then he did answer the questions, not only about the end of the game and what that was like and what the plane ride home was like, but also about him taking a sack at the end of the first half when the Patriots were very much in chip shot field goal range. So you'll get all of that in QB news coming up in 15 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. As for Bryce Harper, I know that reality tells us there are only so many teams out there who will pay the kind of money that he commands. I wish it were a wide open market. I really do. I wish that every single team in Major League Baseball was on equal footing and that every single team with the owners that are running the show would be willing to pursue him. Now, it's obviously still Bryce's decision, right? He's a free agent. This is not going to be a trade. And so Bryce can decide where he wants to go. But logistically, there are a handful of teams, maybe, that even if you expand this group, even if you expand the edge of reality, you're still talking about just a handful of teams, maybe not even a third of Major League Baseball, who would be willing to pay him what he's likely to command, which is $300 million at least. Now, are you willing to go the 10 years? That's another big question. That may take some other teams out of it. But are you willing to spend that kind of money, number one? Number two, are you willing to commit the number of years, even if there is an opt-out at some point? So if you think about it, which teams are willing to spend that kind of money based on history? The Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees for sure, though they have taken themselves out of the equation because they've got other needs. How about the Angels? They've spent some money in free agency. The Giants, okay, they've done it too. The Phillies are a team I'm hearing a lot of. Obviously, the Chicago Cubs have spent a ton of money in getting to the point where they are a contender again. Working in New York, which is where our CBS Sports Radio headquarters are located, there's a large group of Mets fans who would love to see him with the Mets. And Brody Van Wagenen, who's their new general manager, who comes from the realm of agents, that's where he is an agent. And so he doesn't have to worry about making money or keeping this job. It's more like a new challenge for him. You would think that he would be more open to spending the money. The problem is it's still the same owner. And how is the owner, Jeff Wilpon, just all of a sudden going to decide that one player is worth, I don't know, 8 years, $300 million plus, or 10 years, $400 million, depending on what Bryce's camp can get for him. And maybe Bryce doesn't want a 10-year deal. Who knows? But it's a lot of money. It's a lot of cash. It's committed, too. There's no getting out of it once you've signed on the dotted line. These contracts are fully guaranteed. Any other teams out there that you feel like are interested in spending this kind of money? 855-212-4227. So where would you like to see him play? Where would you not like to see him play? All right, let's go back and read some of your tweets here. John says, I'd like to see Bryce Harper play for the Rockies in 2019. Not far from his hometown, Nevada. And he points to Blackman, Arenado, Harper, Story. That'd be a monster offense. My guess is that he could hit 350 in spacious Coors Field. Spacious Coors Field. He says Colorado's not a big market, though, probably out of the running. So, yeah, you have to consider where would Bryce like to play? Where can Bryce maximize his earnings potential? Though, dear God, if you have a contract that's worth nearly $400 million, do you actually need more earnings potential?
Show me the money.
Yeah, for sure. Kev says, I want him on the Red Sox because I don't want him on the Yanks. There are other teams out there, Kevin. And it looks like the Yankees have taken themselves out of the running, so you don't have to worry about that. Nick says, how about he stays put for 10 years, $300 million he was offered by the Nationals? Interestingly, because I haven't heard a lot about the Nationals, but it would not surprise me if he stays put. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they decide to keep him. The issue, though, is they have underachieved for so, so many years. Going back to when Harper first joined them as, what, a teenager, right? Wasn't he a teen when he came up? And he and Steven Strasburg are supposed to be the saviors of this franchise, and they've spent a lot of money to try to put pieces around them. But because of injuries, because of underachieving, they just have never reached that pinnacle. and they've watched other teams in the National League grab that World Series glory. The Cubs, the Dodgers. Meanwhile, they continue to be an early exit in the postseason. No matter how good their regular season record is, remind you of another team in the D.C. area until the Capitals just won the Stanley Cup last season. How many times were they an early exit and an underwhelming underwhelming achiever, but a huge disappointment? So does Bryce want to go back there? Maybe. Patrick Corbin's a nice addition, but is it enough? He's going to get to choose. These teams are going to lay out the options for him. They're going to put together packages and show him why this is the best place. We've got the best roster. Sanjay says on Twitter, anyone but the Red Sox. All right, so not a whole lot of love for the World Series champs bringing him on board. I mean, the World Series champs have a pretty incredible outfield already. Not that Bryce Harper couldn't potentially be an upgrade, but are they looking at him? Thomas says anyone except for the Yankees. So we have a Sanjay, anyone but Boston. Thomas, anyone but New York. Let's see. Dylan says bringing him to the Rangers for our new stadium would be fun, and keep him away from the Yankees, please. If no one's listening to me, you don't have to worry about the Yankees. Or do you just not believe Brian Cashman? Is that the deal? You don't believe him. Daryl says on Twitter, I would love Harper in Yankees colors as a fan of the Bronx Bombers. He says I'd hate for him to be with the Red Sox or Indians. I can understand that. James says, can the Orioles have Bryce, please? The Orioles do not strike me as a team that's going to go out and spend the money. Brian says, anywhere not in the AL East. I like how these tweets are going. All right, I'll get to some of your responses on Facebook coming up, too. But whether it's our social media, whether it's on the phones, where would you like to see him end up? And I'm asking you to suspend reality a little bit, but in all likelihood, we're talking about, I mean, not even 10 teams probably. I don't even know that we're looking at 10 teams that can pay him what he wants to be paid. And if they can pay him, is it a place where he wants to go? Where it's a big stage, it's a big city, it's bright lights, it's a lot of primetime games or games on national television. He's had that in D.C. That's part of the deal when you get these big names, the face of the franchise. But he's also, I think, this would be normal for any athlete, want to be drawn to a team that's had recent success because he wants to play on the game's biggest stage, which is the World Series. Let's see. Producer Chris has been doing his research. He does love to Google it. In 2016, Bryce Harper signed the largest endorsement deal in baseball history, 10 years with Under Armour for an undisclosed amount. Ooh. Did you not Google any rumors about how much that was worth? Yeah, I was going to say.
No, I did.
And what was the speculation?
Well, they base it off of other players, and guys like Ortiz and Jeter were making around 10 a year.
$10 million a year. $10 a year. I would think that in the case of Under Armour, that has shown a propensity to pay big time money to high profile athletes, that he's fine even if he doesn't even sign a massive contract. It's like a Steph Curry situation or a Tom Brady. When you, even Phil Mickelson, though obviously we're not talking about team sport or a contract there, but when you have so much extra money coming in endorsements, you can be a little more choosy about where you play. All right, A-Law Radio, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. Thanks so much for tuning in. QB News straight ahead, and we'll get to more of your calls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It was not a great night for either quarterback on Monday Night Football. Kirk Cousins, though, providing the exclamation point as he fumbles away a football late in the fourth quarter. At this point, the game is mostly out of reach. It would have taken another Minneapolis miracle. Fumbles the ball away. Justin Coleman picks it up, returns it for a touchdown to essentially drive a stake in the heart of the Vikings and their fans. Kevin Harlan with the call on Westwood One Radio's coverage of Monday Night Football. So what about the two quarterbacks in this game that was yet another primetime defensive battle? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and our QB news begins with the two starters for the Vikings and the Seahawks, who capped week 14. Here are the numbers for Russell Wilson. 10 of 20 through the air, only 72 yards passing. How about that? He does throw an inexplicable interception, and his QB rating was low, low, low. How low can you go? However, he has nearly as many rushing yards as he does passing, most of those coming on a 40-yard scamper late in the fourth quarter, but Seattle relying steadily on that run game. So feeding a bunch of different backs between Carson and Penny, Rashad Penny and Russell Wilson, trying to control the ball and make sure that they kept it away from the Vikings and also gave their defense the opportunity to rest. It actually wasn't the game that Wilson was expecting.
We knew it was going to be bad. We thought it was going to be a high-scoring game. Actually, to be honest with you, it wasn't. It was the complete opposite. But, you know, at the end of the day, what we really want to do and what we really care about is winning. And we collective effort, we found a way to win.
A win is a win is a win is a win. And for the Seahawks, who cares what the final score was or who gets the most credit, who gets the game ball? The fact is they have now set themselves apart in this race for the top wild card. They've rattled off four consecutive wins, their longest streak of the season. And while they still do have some challenges on that schedule, they are back to having a formidable home field advantage. So the Niners is the next foe on the road in the Bay Area. Then they welcome the Chiefs and they welcome the Cardinals, to wrap up their regular season. If they win one of those final three, more than likely they will have the 5 seed in the NFC, as now the only non-division leader in the NFC that has a winning record. How about that? Your 4 division leaders and the Seahawks, the only teams in the NFC with winning records. The Vikings have fallen back to 500, and considering the money that they paid for Kirk Cousins, I know a lot of it has to do with the lack of a run game, though Dalvin Cook was back out there on Monday Night Football. They couldn't get anything going offensively. It was just a mess. It was a disaster once again. And so in back-to-back weeks, they have failed to put 2 touchdowns on the board.
I don't think it was any one thing, a combination of not converting third downs, Seahawks making plays. They had a great pass rush, and you know, we had to just sustain drives. We didn't have a lot of explosive plays. Again, credit the Seahawks for limiting those.
They really had one, the Stephon Diggs play, which was 48 yards. It happened to come, I think it was midway through the fourth quarter. It was only the second time they'd been over midfield, and it was great. It was against Trey Flowers. Nice adjustment for Diggs to go up and get that ball. They were instantly in the red zone, except they end up getting stopped in a goal line stand. They go for the touchdown instead of taking the points, and they were only at that point down 6-0 in this game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Kirk Cousins, 20 of 33 in this one. Over 200 yards and a touchdown, but did have that fumble that was returned for a score as the exclamation point, the capper. And so the Vikings fall to 6-6-1. And while they're still right now in possession of the number 6 seed, by virtue of the tie, they are ahead of the other contenders for that number 6 seed in the NFC. Man, they've got some work to do to stay ahead of the pack. All right, turning our attention now to another team in the NFC North. The Chicago Bears have definitely proven themselves to be a team that defensively, not only are they going to hit you hard, they're going to hit you a lot, they're going to attempt to take the ball away from you. They're doing everything right on defense. And we saw that against the Rams. The Rams offense that's scoring, 35 points per game roughly this season, looked so ineffective and really incompetent. It's just one game. It's one snapshot, but credit the Bears defense for that. And I think the cold weather, too, was a bit of a shock. But you know what? The Bears offense didn't operate real well either. Even as they had over 100 yards rushing and Jordan Howard was up and down the field, they weren't able to take advantage of their opportunities. And there are some questions about Mitch Trubisky. He did not look good. No better than Jared Goff looked on Sunday Night Football. So according to his head coach, it's a work in progress. But what about Mitch Trubisky learning how to be able to adjust to the ebbs and flows of a football game?
For Mitch, as we go here, I think take apart, push our defense aside and how they're playing, and how can he and how can we grow in this offense? And so there's going to be some times where you might be presented with a different look than what you think you're going to get. How do you react to that? And so a lot of times we'll talk about things being black or white or gray. And so when things are gray, you know, making sure that we all, our eyes go to the same spots. And so that's what right now is that's one of the neat parts of us molding into our identity in this offensive is learning.
And that's part of this roller coaster ride with young quarterbacks. Mitch Trubisky's not a rookie, but he's still very much learning. And with Matt Nagy, who's an offensive guru, supposedly an offensive guy, very creative, it's a lot to be thrown at him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Opposite end of the spectrum. So you got young quarterbacks there with Mitch Trubisky. And then we're going to shift our attention to Tom Brady, who is always a guest on Westwood One's pregame coverage of Monday Night Football with Jim Gray. And Jim, that relationship they have, Jim is able to get the best, the most honest answers from Brady that I hear anywhere. They really do have a nice friendship. And so Jim, of course, started in right away with the end of the Dolphins game, the victory over the Patriots, the 69-yard hook and ladder play, the two laterals, and then Kenyon Drake just knifing through the rest of the defense. And Jim asked Tom how much he slept last night and what it was like in the aftermath of that stunning loss.
So that was a tough one for us to fly home on. I don't think anyone slept well last night. Losing to them is always tough, and losing to them in Miami, which hasn't been our most favorable place to play. But you can learn from losing, obviously, a lot more than learn from winning. And we're in a decent position, and we got our whole season ahead of us. And, you know, we got to go out and put together a great week and get back on track. I've been in the NFL for 19 years. It doesn't go your way all the time. I think you appreciate it when it does go your way. I certainly appreciate it when it went our way in the Super Bowls. I mean, those have just been incredible games that'll last a lifetime. And I'll certainly remember the games like these that, you know, leave a mark. You know, it was right there for us. You know, we just didn't get the job done. Our team is very resilient. We're very mentally tough. We learn from losses. We learn from mistakes. One play certainly won't define our season. I'd love for us to go out there and play our best game of the year, play our best 60-minute game of the year against a very good football team and really remove this bad taste from our mouth that we've had for the last 24 hours.
Jim Gray tried to press Tom Brady about the decision made by Bill Belichick to have Gronk back there for a Hail Mary, a long pass play. And he also tried to get him to respond to Belichick accepting responsibility. And Brady kind of sloughed it off. Like, that's what Bill does. He deflects. He always accepts responsibility. You know, he's accountable first to us and then to you. And Jim also tried to press Brady about this idea now that they're not in control of their own fate in terms of having a bye or getting home field advantage. But Brady wouldn't take that bait. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. One more thing from Tom Brady with Jim Gray that I want you to hear, because a lot of people have talked about the end of the first half where Brady took a sack. Not something that you normally see him do. He's really smart about situational football, but he takes a sack, the time runs out, and then there's no opportunity for a chip shot field goal that would have made that hook and ladder play at the end of the game essentially irrelevant. And so Jim asked Brady about his decision at the end of the first half.
You know, it was just a bad play by me. I was thinking about a couple other things and, you know, lost track of the most important thing, which was the fact that we didn't have any timeouts left. And I was probably aware of that on the first down play, which is why I threw it away. And then I just lost track on the third down play as I was trying to figure out how to score a touchdown, and just ended up being a play that should never happen from my standpoint.
Again, with Jim Gray on Monday Night Football, Westwood One's coverage, you get an honest Tom Brady. And he says, hey, that was my fault. I lost track of time. I was thinking about other things. So even veteran QBs, even those who are among the greatest of all time, still make mistakes. And that was firmly on him, somebody who should have known exactly what the situation was. So I always appreciate that conversation because you get pretty weighty stuff. By the way, here was Bill Belichick's assessment of what happened and their reaction to the Miami loss. And I quote, nobody died. It's good to know. It's good to know that everyone survived that debacle. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Coming up, the latest athlete conspiracy theory, which I think you will find amusing. Also, something I discovered, that the quarterbacks who all signed massive deals this last offseason have in common. what? And our Twizzler Tuesday response is, where would you like to see Bryce Harper play? Where would you not like to see Bryce Harper play in 2019? Twitter, Facebook, phones, we're rolling through After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, coming up this weekend, we've got NFL on both Saturday and Sunday. How cool is that? Sunday, it's actually a doubleheader day, and it's all about the playoffs. Miami battles Minnesota, and then it's a huge game with two teams fighting to win their divisions. New England collides with Pittsburgh. Woo-hoo-hoo! Looking forward to that one. The day came. Do you remember how last year's ended? It was a week 16, week 15. I can't remember now, but it was over Christmas, wasn't it? It was the week before Christmas. Remember how it ended, the whole Vance McDonald mess? Dear Lord, that was fun. Okay, so anyway, the day kicks off with the NFL today, powered by Ram at 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS. Goodness, I'm excited about that game. But just in general, having an NFL doubleheader on Saturday is kind of fun, too, because you only have two games to focus on. I really enjoy that. I enjoy it about the playoffs as well. We get to that point in January, and there's one game at a time. And it's nice for my brain to only have to focus on one game at a time. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. Wait, now I'm questioning myself. Was it Vance McDonald that got it? No, it wasn't. Who was it? This is bad. I could remember the big uproar and the controversy and watching the game. I was in Houston, actually, at the time. It was Jesse James. At least I remember that it wasn't Vance McDonald. How about that? Okay, so you know the memory. Plus, I have a cold. Not sure if I'm allowed to beg that or not. It was a major controversy about what's a catch, what's not a catch. Did he control the ball all the way to the ground? Blah, blah, blah. And so at least we don't have to worry about that. But, yes, both these teams now – and I would say more so the Steelers in dire straits to try to get the ship righted before they get any deeper. And in the case of the Steelers, they obviously have lost their cushion in the AFC North, and it's down to a half game over the Ravens, even as the Ravens have, you know, taken a step backward as well. All right, so 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. On Twitter or on Facebook or on the phones, we're asking you as part of Twizzler Tuesday, where would you like to see Bryce Harper play baseball in 2019? Where would you not like to see Bryce Harper play baseball? And I'm going to say it again. According to Brian Cashman, they're not spending that kind of money on him when they already have a stacked outfield. And if you're not paying attention, at the winter meetings, Brian Cashman listed all of the outfielders they have and why they do not have any room for Bryce Harper at the inn. Aaron Hicks, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Brett Gardner, Jacoby Ellsbury, Clint Frazier. And he says he's not looking for a seventh outfielder to have in the fold, especially not one at the cost of $300+ million. That's a lot of money to spend when you already have a bunch of really expensive pieces. It's a blessing, and I'm going to say this. It's also a curse to be the general manager of an organization like that because, yes, they have a lot of money to spend, but the expectations are so sky high every year that if you don't make the playoffs, if you don't get to the World Series, you're a failure. I mean, think about it. One of their most accomplished players, one of the guys that helped to win so many World Series, Joe Girardi got fired one game shy of the World Series. I mean, that's the kind of expectation in New York because he wasn't communicating as well with young players, whatever the heck that means. He wasn't coddling them is what it means. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Mike is in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. I was trying to ask you a question. I would love to see him in Atlanta with the Atlanta Braves. We did make the playoffs last year, and I feel like we're maybe one or two pieces away from really contending for
a World Series?
World Series, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so the question is, do I think he's going to end up there?
Oh, no, I was answering the question where you said, where do you want to see him end up?
Got it. I mean, I think that would be fun. I'll just be perfectly honest, have not heard even one iota of a rumor about him going to Atlanta.
Either so. I don't know. But I got one more thing, Amy. I want to give a shout out to Atlanta United. We just won the MLS Cup. So go Atlanta United.
Awesome. I hope that it makes Atlanta sports fans happy. It's not obviously the football title, the football championship they would like the most, but I hope that it did make the fans really happy in just the second year. Oh, okay. Thank you, Mike. Wait, did you pot him down or you just disappear? Dave, what are you doing in there with the board? He just disappeared? Okay. Dave is with us tonight and the last two nights of the week. So the inmates are going to be running the asylum because Chris is taking his Christmas time off early. It just so happens because I would say because he's one of the newest full-time hires, he's sort of lower on the totem pole and doesn't get his first choice about Christmas time off, which I'm sad about because I feel like everybody should be able to have Christmas off. However, your family is local, all right? So in the case of me, for instance, my family is not local. I am going to be working the show Sunday night into Monday morning, Christmas Eve, but I'll be doing it from Houston. Then I'll be off the rest of the week. Chris is taking a couple days off at the end of this week, which is great and all, except that we've got two people who are relatively new to After Hours who will be alongside. So if I am pulling my hair out and throwing things at the double pane glass, well, Dave, just duck. First of all, they're probably not likely to get through two panes of glass, but I would say duck. That would be my advice.
You're in great hands. Come on.
Yes, I am. And so we'll see if we don't completely take down the entire network. And I'm not actually referring to you. I'm referring to your partner who will be in there with you. Then that's good. Should I lower my expectations for the 2 days at the end of the week or no? Are you confident, Dave?
I am 100% confident. 100%. But I can only speak for myself, though. I can only speak for myself.
Okay. Here is the big question, though. And this is how I'll determine if I'm confident in you. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
No, no, it's not. What? It's a great movie. I enjoy it. It happens during Christmas time, but it's not a Christmas movie. A Christmas Story is a Christmas movie.
Yes, yes, it is. So do you want to venture a guess as to the percentage of Americans who believe that Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
76%.
Believe that it is a Christmas movie?
Yeah, I don't think they agree with me.
No, actually, the majority agrees with you. According to a new poll that was up in our elevator, you know, those are very scientific. No, they actually are. They come from reputed news organizations. But I always feel like a dope when I say the elevator poll. It's not a poll that was taken in the elevator. It just, you know, we have the elevator TV. Anyway, according to a recent poll, 62% of Americans do not believe that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, which means, of course, that 62% of you are wrong.
Wow. All right.
In fact, I am going to watch it this weekend just because. But I catch your drift. It's not a movie about Christmas. You can watch it any time of the year. And I don't know. I mean, you can watch it in a different time of the year and still feel like it's Christmas time. It's about him being home with his wife and his and getting home to his wife for family Christmas. No? And it's got festive soundtrack.
That's true.
Actually, I couldn't even name one song on the soundtrack. That's not one of the ones that's more memorable to me. All right, so we'll see. I have less than supreme confidence in Dave because he doesn't think Die Hard is a Christmas movie. But so far, so good on the show. Yes, we'll see. If the network is still here once we get through the end of this week. 855-212-4227. Nick is listening in California. Nick, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Love the show.
Thank you.
I don't know if maybe I was not paying attention or something, but I heard on one of the talking heads was talking about maybe it's the Corey Kluber movement, possibly the Oakland A's.
Are we talking about Bryce Harper or are we talking about Kluber? Did you say Kluber?
Yeah, Corey Kluber.
Oh, I don't know if I've heard that, but I tend to not believe all of the rumors. They kind of fly over my head until I feel like there's something substantial to them. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I have definitely heard some buzz about him not staying with Cleveland. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be one that I think might gain some ground. But right now it's kind of in the shadow of the two major pieces, which are Harper and Machado. So I would say just take everything that you hear with a grain of salt and don't go over the top crazy with them just because most of the time at this point, it's, you know, agents throwing things out there to try to drum up extra money for their client or extra interest, or it's teams trying to throw other teams off the scent. And so there's a lot of misinformation. It's almost like a political campaign, just a bunch of misinformation thrown out there to kind of smear the other teams and smear the truth.
Okay, I get it.
Oh, yeah. But, no, I'm being serious. I'm not just making that up.
No, I understand 100%. Okay. But going back to the Oakland A's, diehard A's fan.
Mm-hmm.
We got any chance of making something happen this season?
Mm. Do you think the team's going to spend money?
That's the great thing about the A's, though. You can go to a baseball game for like $33.
Right. Now, here's the thing about the A's. I feel like, Nick, thank you so much for your phone call. We're at the top of the hour, but I'm going to keep answering here. I feel like with the A's, they almost get to that point where they can be a contender. And they've had some recent playoff appearances, let's be honest. But it seems like they can never quite put together a full run. They get to the point where they are treading water kind of at the top of this giant pool, but then at the last minute they get sucked out again. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.